Good morning.
Today, I'm going to be talking about how wisdom is seeking God. If you're wise, you're going to be seeking the Lord. And even though this isn't the world's definition of wise, it's the real definition of wise. And I'll start by referencing when Jesus was born. In Matthew 2, 1 and 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" And we don't know much about these people, except the description it gives them are wise men. And that applies in not just that maybe they were the special advisors of whatever king of the east they came from, but they were wise in that they came to see Jesus. And this applies to not only them, but to all people, that those who come to seek out Christ are the wise in the wise people. And if we want to be wise, you know, nobody wants to be a fool, then what we should do is seek out the Lord and come to see him. No matter how far away you come from, make the effort to come and find the Lord and seek him out.
Amen.
This is what true wisdom is. We see a lot of times the contrast between the wisdom of the world and the true wisdom. Jesus prayed and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent," and that would be in this world, "and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And there were, you know, the wise and the prudent in that day would have been the Pharisees, those who thought they had everything figured out and they knew the most about the law. But Jesus said that they're revealed unto babes. And it's not just to anyone. It's not that God just reveals truth to the foolish of this world, but he reveals truth to those who come to the Son. Neither knoweth many man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So those are the wise. The wise people are those who come to the Son and learn about who God is and know him through the Son. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So lots of people have what they would call understanding, and maybe they have an amazing grasp on, you know, the way the world works or how to deal with people or govern or whatever, but this says the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So in God's book, that doesn't mean anything, because what God considers understanding is knowing God. Mm-hmm. And that is what we should be seeking for. And if we want to know more, the answer is not to get more earthly knowledge, but is to seek the Lord and really call on him and ask him to reveal himself to us.
Amen.
Yes. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So there are wise men, but glorying in your wisdom is not is there's nothing to glory in if it's not the wisdom that's making you seek and understand and know God. That's how you know what real wisdom is if it brings you closer to the Lord and it makes you understand Him, then it's real wisdom.
Yes, amen.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So the world, even by their wisdom, they didn't know God. Their wisdom actually kept them away from seeking after God. But then later on it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So even what the world would consider foolish, it's that's the true wisdom that we need to be seeking for. So we need to get in our minds that the definition of wisdom is seeking after the Lord, like following the star to find Christ. There are many places which talk about those who don't seek the Lord and how they are fools. One of them is Psalm 14. It says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." See how those two things are put together? Understanding and seeking God. Then it says, "They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Then he asks, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord?" So once again, it links knowledge, no knowledge, to not calling on the Lord. And we need to make this link in our minds too, that if you don't seek the Lord, you're a fool. The fools think that there's no one to seek. They say in their heart, there is no God. But this is foolishness. If they really had knowledge, if they really understood, they would seek God. Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So what that verse is saying is that the things that are invisible about God, that we can't see God directly, from the creation, we should be able to see those. We should be able to understand those. We should understand that He is powerful and that He is supreme and in control, His Godhead. But then it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools."
Amen.
And here, in summary, this is saying that they didn't seek God. They didn't glorify Him. They weren't thankful. They were seeking after their own imaginations and thoughts. They weren't seeking God. And this is not thinking rationally. Because when we see the grandeur of creation, the only logical thing for us to do is to seek the God who created it.
Amen.
And so if you had any understanding at all, any wisdom at all, even just looking at creation should make us seek after Him. Psalm 94, 6 through 11. "They slay the widow and stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And it is pure foolishness for someone to disregard the one who created them. They say, well, the Lord won't see. Well, the Lord's the one who made the eyes. He can see, he can hear, he can know. And we see, when we look at it from that light, we see just how foolish it is for us to try to ignore God and not seek after him. God said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is holpen shall fall down. And they all shall fail together. And when the people were thinking about going to Egypt and getting Egypt's help, the arm of the flesh, God says that these are fools, and that their help isn't going to do anything against the Lord. But their problem was that they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. And the wisest way to deal with any situation is to seek the Lord. You know, if you're going to really use your brain, if you're going to figure something out, the best thing to do is seek the Lord. Here's another example, bad example. 2 Chronicles 16:7. Now here the king of Israel came against Judah, and Asa hired the king of Syria to go help him against Israel. And it seemed to work, but then it says, at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and hast not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And God called Asa's actions foolish. He says, you've done foolishly in this, because he didn't seek the Lord. And the Lord should be our first, where we go first.
Yes.
And if he's not, then you're being a fool. And God has power to help, or God has power to hurt. So let's seek him first. Let's do the wise thing. So in contrast to that, when we really know and understand or have wisdom, then we seek the Lord. And also, and it's not just, it's our knowledge and understanding about the Lord that make us seek him. It says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So who is it that put their trust in God? It's those who know his name. And the more we know about who God is, the more we will seek him and trust in him. And if we're not going to the Lord, maybe it's because our knowledge of who he is lacking. So let's go to the Word and let's find out who God is and let that motivate us to seek him. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I think you could see that phrase in a couple different ways. That you could either see that fearing the Lord gives you your first bit of knowledge, or else you could see it as the fear of the Lord is like the very basic start, or like thing that knowledge does, the beginning of knowledge, the first step. If you have knowledge, the first step is fearing the Lord. Unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So that's what wisdom is. But we need to know the Lord to make us seek him. And if you don't know the Lord, well, then you got to find out what God is like. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You're not going to lack anything good if you seek the Lord. And there David is talking about talking to the people who maybe don't have that wisdom, who don't have the knowledge about what the Lord is like. And he calls on them to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Find out who God is. Get that knowledge of God and let that, and then you'll find that it's the only logical thing to do is to seek the Lord. In the parable of the talents, the one didn't know the Lord. He didn't have knowledge of his master. And it says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap not where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And this one did not know what his master was like. And it made all the difference in what he did. He didn't seek to please his master. He didn't seek his master's favor. And it was because of what he didn't know, what he thought he knew but didn't. And so what we know is going to affect whether or not we seek to please the Lord.
Amen.
1 Chronicles 22:12. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. That was David blessing Solomon, and he says, "Let the Lord give you understanding, so that you will keep the law of the Lord your God." Our understanding brings about our following of him and seeking him. Now, it's wise to seek God because good things happen when we seek God. When we know him, we'll seek him, but also we find that good things happen when you draw close to the Lord. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And so even in the suffering and the judgment that was happening in Lamentations, he recognized that those who wait for him and seek him, God is good to them. And so that if we have that knowledge, then we will seek him. Amos 5:4, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Now they didn't do that. They turned away from the Lord. But God offers to them that if you seek him, good thing will happen. You'll live. Mm-hmm. And And we have even a greater understanding of what all that means to live. We're not going to lose out if we seek the Lord. Yes. In Luke 7, 29 and 30, it says, "And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." And so it's like there was counsel of God to them that was, you know, hear the word of God and live, and yet they rejected that counsel. And it says it's against themselves. So to their own hurt, they rejected what God had said. So it's foolish. It's foolish to reject seeking the Lord, because this counsel of God, God gives us good counsel, and it's foolish to reject that. Amen. We know it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God," cometh to God is like seeking God, "must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God is a rewarder. God will give us good things. And so the wise thing to do is to try to go get the good things. Let's think about, you know, how good God is and how good everything he has is, and let's seek that. "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." And if you think about the word despising, that's not something that you would want to do of your own soul, to think, you know, to cast it down and not want its benefit. That's what happens if you are refusing the knowledge of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. God lamented over Israel and said, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they had understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up?" When the Israelites were being chased by their enemies, one chasing 1,000 and two destroying them, he said the Lord had sold them and shut them up. And he says, "I wish that they weren't so foolish. Oh, that they were wise and they understood this."
Amen.
And the real foolishness is to not realize that going against God is your own death warrant. That it's God just was so sorry and so sad to see that they had no understanding in them. So instead, it says, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." When we're walking circumspectly, that means we're looking and watching out for dangers. Well, it says that if we're wise, then we're not going to be caught by these dangers. And then Matthew 7, 24 and 25, Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." So let's be wise men, and let's build our house on Christ and on seeking him and hearing his sayings and do them, that is the wise thing to do. And if we have the true understanding of how things really work and how God is in control, how there's a day of judgment, and that he loves us and doesn't want us to perish, then we will seek the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
And then there's just a couple examples of wise men, and we see the wisdom and we see the seeking the Lord together. And I won't read much detail, but there's Joseph. We know Joseph was seeking the Lord, and Pharaoh said, "Can we find such an one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." And Pharaoh recognized wisdom. Well, Joseph's real wisdom was that he sought the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, and it says, Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And there's Daniel. What he did was he sought the Lord. And later on in the chapter, it said, the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Because he had the secret to real wisdom, and that is seeking the Lord. When he had something that came up, he went to the Lord immediately and he asked his brethren to help him. So I exhort each one of us that if you want to do the wise thing, if you think you have any knowledge or understanding, the wise thing is to go to the Lord and to know him better. And there's always good results with that. He will always bless that.
Yes.
So are there any comments on this topic?
Way to live a life of peace is to follow after God, and he'll make it to where you can even live with your enemies. And even if you do suffer, he'll give you support from those armies, and you don't have to seek another. So if you want to, how does it say in Peter 3:10, have a good life, you know, we seek the Lord.
Seeking God is just blind. It's because they're blind, they're not seeking. So the God of this world blindeth the minds of them which believe not. So there's kind of scrambling around in the dark, not knowing God. But he set the bounds of our habitation and for this purpose, that we might seek after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
He left us enough, this glimmer of his glory, so that we would seek him.
Yeah, if we don't throw that away and, you know, not like to retain God and their knowledge, and the people, they glorified him not as God, that's what lost them the knowledge that they had. But if we use our understanding, every bit of understanding points us that we should seek the Lord. like the wise men, go find Jesus.
Understanding comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The one who desires life to love and see good days.
It's always a good day with them.
Seek him. Seek the Lord
While he is near, call upon him. When he is near, seek him where he may be found.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it goes?
Mm-hmm.
While he may be found. So it's like, you got to see this glimpse that God has given himself of the world. It's like he's passing by.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to seek him while he may be found.
Amen.
This is the day of salvation. He may be found now.
We're thankful that he sought us first.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us that bit of knowledge or the bit of understanding to feel after him and find him. He was the one who initiated that. And as we continue to follow him, he gives us more wisdom and understanding too.
Well, don't you think when Adam and Eve were born, that they were born with that need to seek the Lord that was just born in? Because he was with them in the garden.
Mm-hmm. They were made in his image.
Mm-hmm. So
God befriends man. You didn't even think of God and Adam in the garden. God was befriending Adam.
Okay, well, let's stand together and let's...